Your podcast for everything entrepreneurship, business, and grit. It's GritCon Expandcast on your favorite podcast platform. iTunes, Spotify, Google, or visually on Facebook and YouTube. With premium content exclusively at Innovators Stream. And now Season 2, Episode 7 begins, featuring Greg Potapenko and host Ron Suzuki.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the next episode of GritCon Expandcast, Season 2, Episode 7. I get to say Episode 7 and Season 2. That's amazing that everybody's been on this journey for me. You probably already invested probably over 12 hours in me, so I really appreciate this. So, GritCon and everything that we do here. Definitely, I'd like to introduce our guests. First time we're having this conference for this podcast, and we have a guest with us today, Greg Bartok. Thank you for joining us, Greg.
Yeah, thank you, Ron. You're using my Facebook profile name, so
I'm sorry, Greg.
We may need to edit it, but definitely that's a story from the old days. It was my first domain name that I created in 1997, and it had this like viral effect before viral was a word, and I just kind of kept it around as my like internet alias. But so I think that just the Facebook profile that has it, but yeah, definitely maybe I need to change it.
It's all right. So your last name is it's really small in here. I can barely see it.
Yeah, it's Potapenko.
Potapenko. Yeah, I gotcha. I've called people by their stage names many times on this podcast, so I don't feel like I'm picking on you.
No worries.
Yeah.
Maybe just,
absolutely.
Something I need to consider in my personal brand, but definitely not the first person that made that comment.
I gotcha. Get in front of the audience too and do kind of speak about your experience. So Greg is a digital marketer, great person with a great experience with e-commerce as well. He has experience as well. Interesting enough, if you actually look at his social media, he comes from the Canadian military, and a Canadian military veteran. He also has some accomplishments as a triathlete, if I understand. We'll get into these details here soon.
Sure.
As well as several other competitions that you do, some physical competitions, and I think even more, your most recent, in the last few weeks even, is you doing some challenging yourself physically to stay fit. And from my point of view, it's very inspiring to see both sides, both the physical fitness side and also your business fitness, I guess you could say, your presentation that way.
Great. Yeah, thank you. I think for me personally, one doesn't go without the other. It's the discipline and also the energy and the grit, the ability to persevere and actually, stay up and grind when it's required. That goes hand in hand with, the business, knowledge and experience. So definitely trying to stay active, trying to continue to train and be ready for anything.
Hey guys, it's Zach Hurst with the EV Resource Podcast and Magazine, your roundup of the latest EV news, information, and answers to your questions about electric vehicles. I bring you the hottest vehicle reviews and the latest headlines, as well as answers to all of the many questions you have about EVs. So what are you waiting for? Plug into EV Resource at ev-resource.com or on your favorite podcast app.
Absolutely. I think even for ourselves as entrepreneurs, we think about, the holistic side. I have past guests that have covered that. I also like to see, different ways. It doesn't just have to be one way of staying physically fit. I think you have an array yourself, but we always try to find something that works for each individual, don't you think?
Yeah, and especially now, like in 2020 and 2021, I had to adjust my routine based on what is open and what is not open, what is available, what is not available. Like I live in Toronto, and all the gyms were closed for the most part. in the last year since March, all of the fitness equipment was wiped off the shelves. People are, you know, scalping them on Craigslist, buying from wholesalers and then selling them like at a large markup. You cannot buy a bike that is cheaper than $5,000 in Toronto because everything else has been bought. So definitely just adjusting to, like, you know, street workouts and body weight exercises and calisthenics and things like that.
Wonderful. Oh, my gosh. So if I understand correctly, too, I know this is a business podcast, but I'm just intrigued by this whole physical fitness side. And if anybody looks you up on social media, we'll see that. And I'm just intrigued by it too. As a triathlete, if I'm understanding, because I'm from the Big Island of Hawaii, so on the other side of the island, as I was growing up as a child, they had the actual Ironman competition, where they do the if I understand, it's the swim first, then the bike, and then the run. Yes. But I'm thinking you did that entire regime of the in the same setting, in the same day, the swim, yeah, bike, and run.
I mean, I just kind of stumbled into this a couple of years ago. Really, I was a teenager, I mean, I was active first with my father, like we did, like, you know, running, cross-country skiing, martial arts. And then for a few years, I kind of fell out of it, you know, started doing the, you know, teenager stuff, you know, a little bit of drinking, a little bit of smoking, partying. And then when I joined the Canadian military, I felt like, oh my God, I can't run a mile without stopping and coughing my lungs out. And I made it a personal commitment to actually stop smoking and you know, become healthy, and also not be the last guy in the platoon falling out on the run. So I started working on my health and my fitness, and I just did a lot of running and just like basic, you know, military style exercises, push-ups and pull-ups, and just, you know, I just wanted to do well in PT. And a couple of years, I actually was sent to the airborne school. And that's when I actually completely quit smoking. And I was taking it seriously. And, you know, we were running twice a day and doing all kinds of PT. I lost like 20 pounds on that course in 2 weeks. So, yeah, definitely that was like one challenge. And I got sent to the NCO school. And that was an even more serious prep. I actually downloaded the old Navy SEAL prep program that used to be on the Navy.mil website. Then they took it down for liability. It was just a lot of running, and it was like literally like four exercises. You do like sit-ups, pull-ups, push-ups, and something else. And then there was the swim portion, which I never did because I always live in a landlocked area with snow, you know, like Toronto. So I didn't do the swimming part. So I couldn't really swim. I could pass the swim test, you know, the basic, like, swim 50 meters and tread water for 2 minutes. So that's about it. So over the years, I did a lot of running, like half marathons, marathons, and just working out, like CrossFit and stuff like that, going to the gym. And in 2018, a friend of mine who's like a cyclist and another who's like a swimmer, we were just joking, maybe we should do a relay triathlon. Like, one guy is really good at running, one's at swimming, ones of cycling. So, and then the cyclist actually signs up for a sprint triathlon. So we're like, well, now we have to sign up too. So basically I had to teach myself swimming in like 6 months, because we signed up in January of 2018 and the race was in June. And I just started working on swimming. And what helped me a lot was the total immersion method that was described in Tim Ferriss's book, The 4-Hour Body. And then I actually ended up going to New York, to New Paltz, where the founder of the method used to live. He's now dead due to cancer, but his family continues to teach. So in 2019, I actually went and did a workshop with them. But essentially, yeah, like that's my foray into the triathlon world. And basically, in 2 years, I've done like two sprint distances, two Olympic distances, and then one Ironman 70.3, which is essentially like a half distance for a full Ironman, the one you probably saw in Kona, Hawaii, which is like the pinnacle of the sport. That's something that everybody aspires to, but you have to qualify, and it's like the best of the best get there. So still working on that. I got a race that is supposed to happen this summer in Canada, in Muskoka, but it's been postponed since 2020 to July and now to the end of August. So we don't know if it's going to happen or not. That's the reality.
Wow, that's a great breakdown of your physical fitness journey. It's amazing. I hear some of my mixing a little story myself. I was in the U.S. Navy. Of course, I passed the basic requirements for, you know, to be even in the Navy, to tread water, swim 50 meters and such. But I remember right before the military, I asked a gentleman who was in the Navy to help me get physically fit. I was a person that just, you know, it's teenage years, you know, I never really worked out, you know, maybe I biked a little bit and that's about it. Maybe in high school I did a little bit of track and barely, just a scratch of track. But he taught me to run a mile, swim 500 meters, and run a mile again in the same setting. Of course, I was like, I think I was 19 at the time. So compared to where how I am now, it might be a little bit troublesome. But I just have an admiration for that piece here. And hearing some of your story, so some of the audience knows that I believe your country of origin is it Russia and then to Canada as an immigrant?
Yeah, so you want me to give short overview.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, I was born in Russia and Siberia, actually. So when I was just turned 16, like the next day, our family left to move to Canada. So that was in the 90s. And basically, you know, I went to school in Canada. Then I joined the military. Then I actually going into the business backstory. So actually when we came, like I didn't know anybody. So I got a computer, thankfully. My dad bought me a computer. So I taught myself, you know, very quickly I got bored from like playing video games and just like chatting. So like I started going on forums and taught myself some HTML. So I actually started building websites. And I actually built my first website in like 97. And like I said in the beginning, there was one like domain name that because of the content I was putting out, it actually went viral. Like it was on TV and everything. You know, it was a short lasted, but it was just a taste of the internet. And I was like, oh my God, that's crazy. I got together with some guys on the forum and we actually started making money. So I actually made my first internet money in 98. We were placing banner ads on websites that we used to build. And then we would spam quote-unquote links on different bulletin boards at the time that every day you post your link and people it's at the top and then slowly goes down, so you post again the next day, and that's how we got traffic. And we were getting paid for every click on our banner ad, and I made several thousand dollars out of like doing just screwing around online. And of course nothing lasts, and that thing disappeared, and I just went into the traditional and go to college, you know, work a civilian job. So I worked, like I got a finance degree. I worked on Bay Street in Toronto, which is like Wall Street in the US, except smaller. Then I spent about 6 years working in the mining industry. I actually worked for the biggest gold miner in the world, and got to, you know, experience what a Fortune 500 company is like a multi-billion dollar business, and travel the world. And at the same time, I was still kind of not satisfied. I was looking for something bigger, and I thought I was capable of more. And as you know, started a family, I realized that, you know, I need a side hustle. I'm not going to get to where I want to just working one job. And I actually still had the Army Reserve service at the same time, like always. I just, you know, I've been in since 2000. So it was always already working like two jobs. And I started a side hustle. And thankfully, I remembered how to code websites. So I put together a lead generation website for insurance. And I had to learn how to advertise on Google. I just read a book and went to a couple of forums asking questions, and I started doing lead generation as an affiliate marketer in 2007, and did that for a couple of years on the side, until I was seeing that I was able to make money that dwarfed my salary. And finally, I made a decision to go all in 2011, and so I've been full-time online marketer for like almost a decade. And that's how I got into the digital marketing business.
I want to get back to being in my community group.
I want to continue having a soccer season.
So I can throw parties again.
So I can go to her parties.
It'd really be nice to dine in instead of getting delivery for a change.
So I can feel safe and protected for myself and my students.
We each have our own reason for why we're getting vaccinated against COVID-19. What will yours be? Visit getvaccineanswers.org for information on the COVID-19 vaccines. It's up to you. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Wow, that's an incredible journey right there. Talking about the many aspects and how you even connected the dots through your life, leading to where you are today with digital marketing. And I got to tell this audience too that I actually met Greg the first time I met him really in person. Really, we contacted me back and forth online, and we met up at a conference on purpose. We even set up location, time, and everything, and I met him. As soon as I met him, I realized this gentleman knows a lot about digital marketing. Like, cause I think we met in early 2019, and I was already only about 7 months in my journey with digital marketing. So I realized as soon as I met him and what he knew was like, I was trying to, you know, ask him questions as a newbie and everything too. And I'm very appreciative of how much you kind of guided me here and there and some ideas and some hints, even basic ideas to get started. So that was I really appreciate that. And that's what I think a lot of the audience is looking for, is information on not only the business in general, but also digital marketing. So we might just touch on that a little bit. But one question I did have for you too is, what do you think was the, I think you already covered it though. So if I'm understanding you correctly, I think you already answered it, is the major turning point in your business when you knew your business was self-sustaining. I think it was that point when it was a side hustle and it turned into a full-time job. I guess that was the pivot point for you, self-sustaining?
Yeah, I actually thought about it recently when I follow certain, thought leaders and influencers on social media, just kind of personal development and business advice. And a lot of them are talking about like the burn the boats mentality. Mm-hmm. Like you got to go all in, you got to quit the job like that day and just go all in on your passion and your business. And then some do teach like the side hustle, like, Gary Vee, like mm-hmm. you have the 9 to 5 and you got the 5 to 9. And then Ramit Sethi, same thing. Yeah. They seem to be like a minority as opposed to the burn the boats crowd. But I was more of the side hustle, and it was almost to the point where like it was ridiculous. I was making my, annual salary in a month mm-hmm. in my business part time, and I still couldn't let go. And the turning point was actually I was rereading the 4-Hour Workweek by Tim Ferriss for the second time. And I was actually on a plane from Lima to San Francisco on a work trip, flying business class. And, there's a chapter saying you will subconsciously keep finding reasons why not to do or why to postpone, quitting your job, because you say, I want to wait for this bonus, or I'm going to wait till Christmas, or I'm going to wait till this, cushy trip for free. But and then I just literally pulled out my laptop and typed my resignation letter. And as soon as we landed, it was 2011, so not all flights had in-flight Wi-Fi. I sent it, and it was a little bit of a, dick move in a way, now thinking about it, but that was the only way I could do it, because just like cut the cord. Of course, it took me a long time to realize that, there's enough proof of concept there that I can actually go all in on it. And there's no reason for waiting.
Yes. Oh my gosh.
So it was like a slow turning point, like a ramp up to where like I actually had an epiphany where, thanks to the book, I realized that it's going to drag on forever unless I make a decision there and then.
Yep.
Moi Capital helps you with a unique approach to protect your income and to safeguard your assets from any lawsuits, and to accumulate your savings for retirement. Allow us to show you what can be done to help you manage your capital, money, and assets. visit www.moy.capital to find out more.
And that's why I noticed too. I've actually experienced both aspects of my life: this burn the boats and the slow. Because I've actually had two iterations in my business where I had a side hustle, was doing great. I cut the cord, went full in, and then it wasn't working. So I went and found a 9-to-5 job. I had an iteration of failure, and then I, you know, went into a 9-to-5 job in corporate America for 4 years. And then I planned, in a sense, I it's almost like a prison break. I planned my escape for 4 years and planned the money, planned the strategy, planned the blueprint and everything, and then and made the exit. And then sometimes you figure out that you're overprepared. You know, in a sense, I know you leave your 9-to-5 job at a certain point, you know you're ready. I mean, even people in your family is like, I think you're ready, man. You've been working on this for years, you know? And you would get out there and you realize you're almost regretful because now it's like, oh, dude, I was overprepared now. You know, there's some people that have left their 9-to-5 jobs 5 years before me and they were nowhere near where I had the knowledge base that I had, you know, yeah. In certain skill sets, for example, myself in photography and video and such. So, but everybody, you know, figure out your way. You know, we're not trying to endorse one way or another, but figure out which one works for you. And maybe it's a mix of both or whichever it is.
In retrospect, I tend to say sometimes, oh, I wish I didn't abandon internet marketing in 98 and just kept doing it. I would have been like light years ahead. But there's also that school of thought where your experience is what makes you you. Mm-hmm. So all of those things that you did were necessary to get you to where you are now. And in a way, I don't regret any of the things I've done, like, you know, going to university and doing the, you know, military service and working in corporate, because it exposed me to different knowledge, different connections, different experiences that then become what shapes your character, what shapes your path. So I don't regret it, if you know what I mean. So probably if I just stayed online in 98, I probably would have been a lot further ahead, but then maybe I wouldn't have got other things that I had to experience, you know.
Wonderful. I appreciate that retrospective. Both of us have the experience of business and respectfully kind of mixed feelings about it. But you know, we are where we are today because of the decisions that we made and where we were in life at the time. So let's see. And I'm gonna jump around some of these questions here. Tell us a story of grit in business when it came to your business, when you thought you weren't going to be able to recover for it. Every guest I've had on the show, including myself, I've had situations where a disaster happened, either caused by myself or natural disaster or forces beyond your control, or a supplier mixed the wrong chemicals that end up in this production, you know, situation. Was there a situation, I'm sure there was, a situation in your business experience where something happened and you're like, oh my God, am I going to make it? And you did make it through, obviously, because you're still doing it today.
Oh, that's like every day. I mean, just kidding. But definitely it happens frequently where you think, oh my God, the world is ending. And, you know, a couple of years ago, I just started, like, you know, meditating, and I started reading some things about stoicism and grit that kind of runs in parallel with stoicism. And it's not so much like what happens to you, but like how you react to it. And the first reaction is like, oh my God, it's over. But in reality, it could be even a silver lining. It could be an opportunity. And just yesterday, I listened to a podcast with Reid Hoffman's Master of Scale, and Brian Chesky was on from Airbnb, and they had a disastrous 2020 a year ago and all the way to a crazy valuation IPO. And he was saying exactly that. Like when they thought that they're not going to survive, they realized that this was an opportunity to rediscover themselves. This was their defining moment, and they actually came out on top. So when it comes to, you know, my business, obviously it's not Airbnb scale. But even when I started, like first story was like I started in 2007 and I actually lost like $5,000 trying different things at first. And that's a lot of money for someone who's working like a, you know, a day job and 24 years old and got a young family. But I didn't quit and I actually used my, you know, data analysis skills from finance and Excel to dig into the data and find like pockets of profit that I was able to focus on and turn off all the stuff that wasn't performing and actually turn a small profit in January of 08 and then actually made money that year. So that's the very first story when it comes to business is, you know, not quitting, not overreacting, and looking at the data and letting the data tell you the story and making data-driven decisions to get out of where you're at. Then there were another story comes to mind more recent, like 2019. There was basically a point where like I had an office, I had like a dozen people working there. We were doing like e-commerce advertising and we were doing marketing services for clients. And I kind of made a bunch of different decisions that weren't the best at the time. And, you know, maybe hired some people that I shouldn't have hired. Maybe, you know, I hired an agency that I shouldn't have hired to assist with some stuff. And essentially ended up to where I was seeing red every month. And then was going deeper, and I was forced to actually close the physical office. I was forced to let go of most of the team. Some of them left on their own accord. So it's almost to the point where it was just me in a Starbucks again, with some VAs, of course. But I had to roll up my sleeves and just again go back to what I know best, which, you know, for me it's like Google Ads. And I used it, really dug in the data again, started looking for opportunities to get out of that place. I shut down all the unprofitable projects and just focused on like the one thing that I knew could make me money there and then. And I started doing it. And in a few months, I was back into black.
Wow.
And, you know, then I started hiring people again and expanding. But
yeah,
there was that time where just basically through grinding and getting rid of all the dead weight and focusing on what's working, yeah, helped me to turn around.
Wow. That's thank you for sharing that. I think a lot of entrepreneurs, especially if they're, you know, if they're 5 years or more into their business, they have some empathy for that story of you have the expansion and contraction.
Time has like no reflection on how well you're going to do this or that year. Like, look at Airbnb, they were doing so well and then they were almost done. Same thing, like 2019, I was in business for 8 years. You'd think that I'd have everything figured out. No. Like, especially in digital, everything changes.
Yeah.
And sometimes, like, I almost think that it's a little bit disadvantageous to be in it for a long time compared to people who are just coming in recently, because some of the knowledge from 8 years ago doesn't really apply anymore. Like, some of the tactical stuff, like the fundamentals will never change, but some of the tactical stuff that was working like 5 years ago, 6 years ago, no longer applies.
Yeah. Absolutely. And also my own journey with digital marketing as well. I think what I found, even when I started, let's say, I think I met you in 2019, so probably 2018 is when I first got set my foot into digital marketing. It looks like a different planet from what I was doing in the very beginning to what I have to do these days. I had to it started to adapt and change, and I had to get used to the changes. I had to work with the team that we had and say, okay, I'm going to try to get ahead of the curve here and see, okay, we know it's going to change. we just got to know what changed. So we started to create a change log in a sense. It's like, okay, well, this work doesn't work. In order to keep up with our clients' load, we just had to, you know, adapt an environment. And I think that's great that your background, what kind of full circle here, your adaptability in the military, your adaptability in the business world, your adaptability to different environments and tactical environments and strategic environments and everything. You have this toolbox, Greg, that you had, that no matter what forces came, you know, contraction, expansion, whichever, it seemed like you had your grit toolbox to serve you well in many different environments. I'm just a commentary on what you're sharing with us today. So it's very intriguing. It's very insightful.
Thank you. Yeah, I mean, definitely, like, the experiences of military service teaches you a lot about adaptability, and adapt and overcome, and being resourceful. Being an immigrant, first generation, that is also not an easy feat. We had to overcome a lot of challenges financially, mentally, and that experience helps as well. Mm-hmm. And obviously, having mentors and reading a bunch of business books and following thought leaders, that helps to put things into perspective. Like, when you think you're not doing so well, and you listen to the CEO of Airbnb, you had to fire 3,500 people in one day, and your problems kind of pale in comparison to what he had to go through. So definitely.
Absolutely.
Yeah. But being adaptable, gritty, like not quitting, like that quality that they instill in you during your military service, resistance to stress, like not letting it get into you. And even now, like a couple of weeks ago, I had this day where, like, I literally finished at 5 p.m. and went outside, and my brain was about to melt. Like, it literally just, like, I could feel the cogs in my head, like, screeching to a halt. And so it was, still gets to me sometimes, even now.
Yeah.
Just working through it as something that comes easier with experience.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's what I think the entrepreneurs that are on this podcast, you know, they there's several different sides. They say, you maybe hear some inspiration from you, but the other side is, I can honestly say I have some empathy. And sometimes now, even through the struggles I have in the last few weeks, I don't feel alone now. There's something that I can build empathy with yourself. Some of the things you're speaking about in digital marketing and struggles in business and contraction, expansion, and people leaving and people coming into the business, whichever. Sometimes you look around your space and you don't see anybody in your family or whichever that's experiencing the same things you are. This GritCon community is that place where we have some kind of the empathetic kind of environment that we have. Absolutely. One last question, I guess, on my notes here, but we can talk about other stuff too as we improv this up. What are some of the major lessons that you learned that you think could apply to the general base of this audience in business? Because we have people in retail, we have people in e-commerce, we have people in, like, farms and everything that are listening. What is something that you think is a good takeaway for somebody to use today?
I had to think about that one actually for a little bit, but I think that I want to sum it up in one word: is sales. So, originally I used to frown at sales. I used to, get this newsletter at work, and there was all the news from the mining industry, and basically there was one quote from a mining CEO that he was speaking about sales. He's like, you're always selling and you have to get good at it. And at the time I thought, like, I'm an analyst. Like, I don't sell anything. Like, I hate sales. Sales is for sleazy salespeople at the used car dealer lot. And I had to, I had to learn to change that very quickly when I started in business, because you're selling, selling is not a dirty word, and you're selling all the time. Like, you're selling ideas to your family on where to go to the next vacation. You're selling ideas to your boss, trying to persuade him to let you do this or that project, or why your idea is good. Even in the military now, with the decentralized command, mission command, you're selling your COA, your course of action, to the commander, to get blessing for your mission, because he just gives you the intent and the higher mission, and then you have to do the whole plan and sell it to him, and he has to, or she has to, approve it. And then, of course, sales is lifeblood of any business, because without sales, without that people giving you money for something that you do for them, solving the problem, like, you don't have a business. So therefore, I think no matter what business you're in or what job you're in, you need to embrace sales, understand the fundamentals, read books. You know, it's just... it's on my table, and I've read many books on sales, mm-hmm. copywriting, direct response. Mm-hmm. It's the negotiation book by Chris Voss. Mm-hmm. Never Split the Difference. In a way, it's also selling. Like, how do you sell the idea to a hostage taker to release all the hostages and, you know, give up?
Definitely,
that's a major lesson that applies to any business. I think that's learning and embracing how to sell.
Wonderful. That's great. Something that's going to save a business in any situation, whichever, as long as there is civilization. You know, our civilization almost came to the brink, you know, as a collective in this past year. But mm-hmm. I think people had to go back to fundamentals and everything too. There's a guest on previous podcast, she talked about how she went all the way back to her early days and started to go to people's home to home with her professional services. Mm-hmm. So, I think about how even my early days too, I used to just get on the phone and just call people and just leave messages. Because a professional, a phone caller with sales is a professional, leave a voicemail, you know, kind of person. So, but whatever it is, it's something that's always required. Whether business is going good or business is going bad, I think sales is the lifeblood of making things happen. I know we're both busy people when it comes to digital marketing. I'd like to explore this further with two digital marketers coming together. So I'm gonna go ahead and announce it to the crowd that Greg and I will be sharing discussion on GritCon 2021 here on April 24th. One of the sessions on April 24th will be myself and Greg, digital marketer, exploring maybe more in-depth pieces that we're willing to share with the public for a more private session than a public podcast with GritCon. And I encourage you to look up GritCon on Innovator Stream, and we're looking forward to sharing more of our baseline of experiences of digital marketing and helping businesses scale up in 2021 and beyond. So
absolutely, thank you, and I'm excited to be a part of the GritCon and next month.
Yeah,
all of the listeners, I would encourage you to go ahead and join the group and post what is your number one challenge when it comes to digital marketing with your business, mm-hmm. and that will help us shape the message. And you know, we want to do a good job answering all the burning questions that you guys have.
Absolutely, wonderful. Well, thank you, Greg. I know we're pressed for time. I know you got some clients in other countries and everything too, and I got some clients here locally and in other places too as well. Digital marketers are pretty busy these days. Kind of good position to be in. Absolutely. Where can people follow you, Greg, on social media and everything?
I have, you know, you can find me on LinkedIn, you know, Greg Potapenko. You can search Instagram. I don't know if you can find me there by last name, but it's the handle is BRATOK48, and I'm also on Clubhouse at H Hour, and my company name is H Hour Marketing, so I'm sure all the military personnel will appreciate it. So my business website is h-hour.biz, is where you can learn more about the agency and what we do.
Wonderful. Thank you, Greg. I really appreciate that. I think we can put up some banners too, so that people can actually type it out and everything. So, so absolutely. Well, wonderful. Thank you so much for joining us, Greg. And I really appreciate your time and energy and everything what you're doing. And thank you for sharing your story with us. And look forward to further discussion at GritCon 2021.
Thank you. Have a great day.
Thank you. You too. Have a good one.